right. I love family. Isn't it so nice to be sitting around in groups, you know, because nobody does family. Who sits in rows around their family table? You just don't do it, do you? So this is, I love this. Right, we're praying. So Jesus, please help us. And everybody said? Okay. So at the beginning of our Vision Sunday, I felt like God was releasing two words in particular over our church family. Do you want to know what they are? I was hoping you'd say that. The two words are invitation and partnership. Invitation and partnership. And I feel like he's giving us an invitation to partner with him in an adventure in transformation. An adventure in transformation for you personally, for your family, for this church, and for this community. And like all great adventures, think Lord of the Rings, there's a goal in mind, a quest to achieve. And for us, the goal is an invitation to become the people that we believe God's called us to be. This is what we believe God called us to be when we gathered together in 2019 in groups and took time in a process to really lean in, to listen to God and to say, God, who are you saying you want us to become? That's the invitation that we're invited. That's the adventure that we're invited to be on. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we put some words around the calling that we felt was emerging from God. But like all great adventures, it's not just about the destination. It's about who we travel with and who we're becoming on the journey. With Jesus and with each other. Every day, wherever we are. So, the words that we finally landed on to describe this adventure of transformation are written on a handout, and I'm going to ask Nikki to hand them out. But before she does, you have to promise me one thing. Don't turn it over yet. I know that's going to be excruciatingly difficult for some of you. But you get to practice self-control. So Nikki is going to hand out the words that we landed on to describe the journey that we felt God was inviting us to do as a people. This isn't our vision that we came up with. We feel like this is the calling that God gave to us. These might look like really nice words, but they're just words on a piece of paper, unless we actually practice. Before you decide whether you want to be part of this adventure of transformation, I actually want to talk to you about the cost. Now that you've got your glasses on, some of you, just wait and make sure everybody's got one. Who got some little letters in the mail this week? Ah, yes. Funny little O's and D's and F's. All right. We're going to read our vision together. Can we do that? Ready? After three. One, two, three. Be a family of wholehearted people. Becoming unmistakably like Jesus, going out of our way to boldly demonstrate God's goodness every day wherever we are. Now there's an invitation to become something that we're not yet. Before you decide whether or not you want to be part of this invitation, this adventure of transformation, I want to tell you what it will cost you. Remember, Jesus said things like, If you go to war, count the size of your army before you go. Or if you're going to build a tower, make sure you know how much building material you've got so that you can complete it. So let's make sure that we would like to pay the cost of this before we do it. Because like every journey, the preparation of our hearts and minds is key. So here's some of the cost that it will cost us to become this sort of people. It will cost much of the church as we currently know it. What? Across the world, God is shifting his bride into family mode. He's shifting the church out of hierarchy, out of methods, out of programs, out of going through the motion and doing what's always been done. He's shifting us into friendships, deeper relationships, into mothers and fathers in the faith, into having sisters and brothers. We will still need some structure. There will still be compliance. But part of this adventure will be exploring and discovering with Jesus and each other what it means to flourish as family in the very best sense of what God designed family to be. Flourishing as family. Can you say that with me? So it will involve a shift in what we understand church to be. Another cost, if you agree, if you take up this invitation, if you choose to come on this adventure, will be that you will willingly give up the right to do your own thing. I know. A lifestyle of leisure, luxury and convenience will not be your guiding principle if you choose to join Jesus and us on this quest. Because this is a journey for people who've made the costly decision that they want to follow and become like their master, Jesus. Not just to pick and choose a few nice sayings that he said, or a bit of, you know, politically correct, you know, okayness, but to actually daily develop as disciples, or as Paul says in Galatians, having Christ formed in us. This vision invites us to unmistakably like Jesus. That will be costly. What would happen in our marriages, our families, our schools, our workplaces, if 200 or 300 people chose on this adventure to become unmistakably like Jesus, carrying his presence, his message, his miracles, his mercy? These people who choose this costly path will have chosen to deny themselves and daily develop as disciples. So we have flourishing as family and we have developing as disciples. And thirdly, the people who have the life of Jesus daily being formed in them will find themselves willing to pay another cost on this journey too. We'll find ourselves willing to go out of our way to connect with people, to connect them with the goodness and the kindness of the Jesus that we know and love. We will be willing to go beyond convenience, beyond the fear of rejection, beyond what will people think, beyond what if they're not healed when I pray for them, beyond those are not my sort of people. We will simply, generously and genuinely be carriers of God's goodness each day wherever we are. Our morning conversation as we wake up with the Father might be, "Good morning, Father. Who is going to be the landing place for your goodness today?" And our stories when we gather together will be joyfully recounted tales of our mini adventures in Holy Spirit kindness and boldness in loving people with Jesus' love. That's what we'll be doing. We'll be sharing those stories. And it will be said of us, look how those people outreach beyond themselves because the love of God is so great within them that it can't be contained. They're just overflowing. Outreaching as overflow. Flourishing as family, developing as disciples, outreaching as overflow. That's why that side of your sheet of paper looks like it does. It's colour-coded and we've put those little priorities in as the shorthand way because we figure it's really hard to remember a long vision statement. Free piece of pizza for anyone who can do it. A free piece of pizza for anyone who can't do it as well because we're not based on performance. In a moment, I just wanted to change tack for a few minutes. We've been sharing these three vision priorities. We've kind of given them those little tags. Hopefully you can get a handle on them and remember them. These are going to be our focus over the next 5 years as we take this transformation adventure. In the next few minutes, I just want to drill down into the first one of those, the flourishing as family, because that's the one that I'm going to be responsible for, creating a team and putting some things in place so that we actually, as a group of people, flourish as family. Next week, we're going to continue unpacking our vision. Brad and I are going to be unpacking the next two, the developing as disciples and the outreaching as overflow, and thinking about what a team will be, what those teams will be doing as well. And in the final week of our 3-week vision sharing, we're going to be asking, so what? Week 3 will be your opportunity, mine as well, to sign up for the adventure, to say, what's my place? How can I bring my gifts to the family table? I'm in. Now what? And it is an invitation, so not everyone will be called. And it's okay for people to say, actually, this isn't me. It's better to say that up front than to pretend. We're actually going to be inviting people to buy in, and not buy in with money, buy in with heart and maybe money, because where our money is, there our heart is also. Isn't that something Jesus said? Anyway, that's beside the point at the moment. It will be okay if some people don't come on, because the nature of the kingdom is always invitational. It's not coercion, it's not pressure, it's not control. It's about come to me, come to me. All right. Just drilling down for this last little section on flourishing as family. I want to give you a few moments to chat, which is why we're in groups as well. I want you to start by thinking in the next minute, this should be easy. This one will be easy to think about. What are some of the difficulties, painful aspects or disappointing aspects you've experienced of family? Does anybody not have that? Okay, off you go. Find somebody and chat. What are some of the painful or difficult or disappointing aspects of family that you've experienced? Off you go. Okay, we don't want to dwell there too long, so I'm going to give you the next question, which is, what are some of the blessings of family that you've experienced? Off you go. What are some of the great things about family that you hopefully have experienced, or maybe you've seen other people experience? Off you go. And the last question, what difference would it make to those outside church if we increasingly lived as true family? What difference would it make to those not yet part of a church if we who are part of a church increasingly lived as true family? Off you go. I believe the world is hungry to see true family. People are lonely. They're disconnected. They're disillusioned. And we have the opportunity to be family in a way that is so inviting and so powerful. There's somebody here who when I look around, I think this person gets family. And so I've actually asked her to come and just share a couple of things that she does, or she feels like God's empowered her to do to help people feel like they belong. So can we welcome Donna? Yay. Love this girl. I love her. You might not know her because she's fairly new, but I've just watched her and I just know, Donna, that God's given you a heart for family. So what are some of the ways that you express family when you're serving God?
I think that we, when we came here, we had to fill out one of those little forms that you probably all had to fill out. And it said, what are you looking for in a church? And we wrote, we're looking for a family. And to us, as soon as we walked in, we knew that we were home because we felt like we belonged. And for me, family is a place of belonging. And that's exactly what we felt when we were first here. We just, Holy Spirit felt it in our hearts. So, growing up, I didn't have a particularly easy childhood. My mum's here. I can say that in front of her. But I realise now God had put me through all those things so that I could see the best in everybody. I have this great gift, praise Jesus. I have this great gift to see the best in people. I tend to overlook their faults and sometimes that falls back on me as well. But and I want to see the best. And Brian alluded to me one day and he said, we see them as Jesus sees them. And I went, wow, you put my feelings into words. And it is. And then last week, someone was talking to a child. Jenny was talking to her child and she said, look in the mirror and what do you see? And the child said all good things about themselves. And that's because he saw Jesus in himself. And it's just a beautiful thing. I love, my favourite gospel of all of them is Luke because of that including of everyone, of the poor and the people on the edges and the widows and the orphans that we don't have so many of, but those people of today's equivalent that are the fringe people that look around the room here and see whose name don't you know today? Who have you never spoken to today? And I vow when I was new to the church, and then we went to COVID, that I would go and speak to someone whose name I didn't know or who was standing on their own or who's new. And there's a couple of those people here today. If you don't know my mum, she's in the front row. And there are new people in the church today. I'm not going to point them out. Go and look for them and say hello, introduce yourself. Those people there, and still when I'm standing up here, there's people I think, well, do I know you? Have I ever spoken to you? Even in passing, each week here, I try to find somebody to reach out to speak to get to know, because I don't want to miss out on any of the kingdom. I don't want to miss out on knowing any of my family. And I would encourage everyone here to do the same thing, because we are all brothers and sisters and in this one room, and as I just said, to Zara, and uncles and aunties and grandparents, we're all one family and we should know each other better.
Thanks, Donna. Don't you love that heart? Find someone you don't know their name, go and just, you know, they might have been here for 20 years or they might have been here for, you know, 1 week, but family is a place to belong and family's where we encourage other people to feel like they belong and they matter. So now I'm just going to share four very quick things I think of when I think of flourishing as family, and you are allowed to turn the sheet over now. Of those of you who waited, well done you. Who waited patiently? Oh, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. Just very quickly, here's some things I think of when I think of flourishing as family. I think of identity and restoration. You know, learning who we are, learning who God says we are will change our lives. When you know that you're loved by God as his son or his daughter, it will change your life. We want every single person in our family to begin and walk through that adventure of learning who God says they are, learning that they're loved, and learning to love other people out of the overflow of that, not because they should, but because they can't help it. Every single heart here, you'll see the little broken heart, every single heart we realise has got, we've got pain, we've got disappointment, we've got hurt and trauma, we've got areas where we need healing. We've got self-protection that keeps everybody at an arm's length. And God's just been speaking to me this week. Don't you love it when he does stuff in you first? He's been talking to me about the self-protective stuff, the coating I've put around my heart so I won't feel rejection. Letting God undo that coating is costly. But I don't want to hold people at arm's length. I want to love like Jesus loved. And this is going to be a journey of getting our hearts healed up deeply, deeply, so that we are restored and able to love generously and we know our identity. It's also a journey of belonging and healthy relationships, finding places where we fit, where we're valued, where we value other people, especially people who are different to us. It's going to be about communication, about we're going to spend time talking about conflict and how we manage relationship issues. We're going to be talking about marriage and parenting because we want family relationships here to be healthy, because then we can show others what difference Jesus makes. One of the things that we'll be doing this year is, as part of Flourishing as Families, we will be running a marriage course, a marriage and relationship course. So even for people who aren't part of a church, if they're in a de facto relationship and they want to grow their relationship, we'll be opening that up and just inviting people to come and invest in their relationship, because that one's the primary one, and out of that flows the parenting issues. The third one is that whole idea of passion and purpose, knowing who we are and knowing our unique gifting and our contribution to the kingdom of God. It's the opposite of sitting around waiting for life to happen. Wholehearted, yes, your heart's healed up. That's one sense of wholehearted, but the other sense of wholehearted is I'm in it 100%. I'm not, you know, oh yeah, whatever. If it's convenient today, I'll come along. I'm actually sold out. Here's my little illustration. This is Lorraine and Steve gave me this beautiful chair for my birthday last year. It's a fantastic chair. You get to sit in it and put your feet up. Like, this is a seriously good, you know, outdoor picnic chair that I got to enjoy at Lemon Tree Passage yesterday while I was having a date morning with my lovely husband. But I'm afraid that this is not the chair that symbolises wholehearted passion and purpose. This is the chair for people who have arrived, who want to put their feet up and do no more. This is the invitation for the journeyers, that we put on the journey shoes, decide, actually, I'm wholeheartedly in for this adventure. And the fourth thing is this whole area of intergenerational connections. And if we don't get to do our intergenerational connections out there because of the rain, we'll get to do them in here today, where we get to be family together. And yes, the kids might be running around or whatever, but what is the blessing of having mothers and fathers, grandparents in the faith? There's things that we each need to learn and we each need to give as part of being a group of people who've got all generations connected. Well, that's the sharing of the vision and the first part of Flourishing as Family. There's much ahead that I don't know about. I haven't got it all worked out, what it will look like every year. We will most definitely get some things wrong. Hello? We will get some things wrong. We will make mistakes. We will make messes. We will have to learn. It will be costly, both personally and corporately. Personally, we will have to be willing to grow and change and learn and reach beyond ourselves. We'll have to choose obedience. Corporately, together, there's some things we won't do. There's some resources that we will channel into some places and not other places. Why? Because we're going after a goal. We're actually looking to be able to employ a trainee in the whole area of administration over the next few weeks, because we want to put some resource into that area that will free up, particularly free up Brad and me to some degree, into the priorities that we have identified. So we will be putting some resources in places that might be different because we're actually saying if we want to get there, we've got to put resources there. It will be costly, but there will also be rewards. There will be the daily presence, the power and the companionship of the Holy Spirit. There will be the friendships and love and loyalties of our fellow adventurers along the way. And there will be the reward that Jesus spoke of him getting what he paid for. Now, earth, on earth as it is in heaven, and eternally with a bride that looks like him. If you think about the beginning of, I think it's the Lord of the Rings movie, life in the Shire with the hobbits was comfortable. It was undemanding. There was that nice music playing. Da-da-da, da-da-da. Yeah, well, you know that. It was comfortable and undemanding, but it was an illusion because it was not viable to stay that like that for that community. And life without this adventure of transformation may also be more comfortable, more undemanding, but it too is an illusion because Jesus reminds us that things of this world are passing away. Matthew 16:25, Jesus said, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. We have good news, the gospel, and God's inviting us to become the good news in this adventure of transformation that is both invitation and partnership. Let's pray. Father, your invitation for us to become a family of wholehearted people who are becoming unmistakably like Jesus and who go out of their way to boldly demonstrate your goodness every day, wherever we are. Father, we acknowledge that that's way, way beyond us in our human strength or ability. We're asking, Holy Spirit, we're inviting you, Holy Spirit, to take our hearts on the journey of being willing to trust you, being willing to partner with you, being willing to pay a cost and to take up an invitation that we would become that people so that the world knows that you truly are a good Father. And so that you receive the honour and the glory and the prize that you paid such a high price for, Jesus. We're giving you permission to work in our hearts, Jesus, over this next week, over these next months. We're asking you, Father, to do in us what we can't do in ourselves. We're inviting you to be the one that jumpstarts our hearts on this adventure of transformation. And everyone who agreed said, amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for not just thinking of yourselves, but actually inviting God to be the one who moves you beyond comfort and convenience into the adventure. Why not take the opportunity, as Donna shared, just to find somebody that you haven't met yet, have some conversations, pray for somebody, be family. Start now, start from here. Don't let anything hold you back. No fear, no, oh, that's just not me. Jesus, we're giving you permission to change us right from the start. Amen. We'll see you next week because we've got part two to share. Developing as disciples and outreaching as overflow. Bless you.